Okay, yep. Moving. Okay, Agudin Chodesh. Agudin Chodesh, a Kabbalah Satorah, Aleph Sivan. Okay, let's get back. Yudal and Mabez were in the middle. So the Gemara, if you remember, is discussing bringing Rayas back and forth to the Machlokas of whether Beis Shammai actually followed their own opinion, or they, even though they said a certain way, they went like Beis Hillel. And obviously an outgrowth of that mitzius machlokas, whether they followed their own opinion or not, is the issue of los eskodidu. If they follow their own opinions, then we get into the issue of why isn't there a problem of los eskodidu in each of these cases. But the Gemara formulates it as the machlokas of did they follow their own opinion, asu or lo asu. So we brought a brisa yesterday, and that's what we're in the middle of. Middle of Yudalam Abeis, we brought a brisa Tashma, that even though Bisham and Beis Hillel had these very serious arguments about Saros, about Achios, which is a machlokas we'll get to later on, about Get Yashan, a man gives his wife a get and then has Yichud with her, Suffagacious Ish, 2 days in Rashi we had yesterday, Kesef, Shava Kesef, Pruta, Shava Pruta, even though they had all these machloksim, but they did not prevent themselves from marrying each other, to teach me, lelamedcha, that chiba and reyes noagim zebazet, that chiba and reyes love and respect were noeg amongst them, as it says in Zechariah ha'emes v'shalom ahavu. So I didn't get to read it yesterday, but the Das Torah says, shebocha chamam lamdeinu bazet. What's the lashon of lelamedcha, to teach you? So there's a Musar Haskell here. Sha'af sha'haisa b'nei ha'machlokas chazaka ma'od, even though they were very serious machlokas here. V'haisa machlokas zu l'shem shemayim. And this was l'shem shemayim. And everyone thought that the emes was with them. Mikol makom, there was ava v'reyes b'tachlis. What does that mean? Because when you're in a machlokas l'shem shemayim, then shalom is not excluded from emes. Even though emes and shalom are usually two midos that cannot coexist, truth and peace. Peace kind of means like shara. So is it they can't coexist, but says the Das Torah, that's the chiddush here. V'afshel l'chara hein anstira zu lazu, ach ba'etzem eino kein. El ha'shtei midos hein kayamos yachad ba'ahava, shuluvos achas el achas. That's emes v'shalom, that's by machlokes l'shem shemayim. That's goof for the example given in Pirkei Avos, b'shamayim beis hillel, as a machlokes l'shem shemayim. Says the Gemara now. So now let's continue. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Nimnu heim avadiv, nimnu min asafik. Reb Shimon says, no, they did withhold themselves from marrying each other from a vadai problem, velo nimnu min asafik, but not from a safik problem, the cases of safik. That's what we assume vadai and safik means now. So now we're going to be medaik. If we say that Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion, they didn't just say their own opinion, but they follow their own opinion, Mishum Hachi Nimnu. That's why Reb Shimon could suggest that in some cases they didn't marry into each other because, you know, they did different things they carried out. But if really Beis Shammai just said their own opinion, but they did not really follow their own opinion, Amai Nimnu. So why would Reb Shimon say, even in some cases, that they did not marry each other? They all held the same way, Lamaisa. So why would they not get married? Says the Gemara Batisbra, one second. I'll ask you an even better question. Before I answer this question, I have a better question. Is it really logical even to say asu, nihi nami da asu, even if you want to say asu, they did like their own opinion, but still there's a problem. Bishlama Beis Hillel nimnu be Beis Shammai. I understand why Beis Hillel wouldn't marry Beis Shammai's family if they actually acted in a different way. Why? Tachayvei krisas ninu mamzer mei leBeis Hillel. Because according to Beis Hillel, what is they hold about Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai holds that this brother can marry the Saras Erva. Saras Erva, according to Beis Hillel, that's a Chiyuv Krisus, because that's an Isser of Eishes Ach, Shaloba Maka Mitzvah. So according to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai's offspring from that relationship are Mamzerim. It's Chayvei Krisus. So I understand then why Beis Hillel would not marry Beis Shammai's family. Ella Beis Shammai am I nimnu mi Beis Hillel, but according to Beis Shammai, so why would they not marry Beis Hillel's family? B'nei Chayvei Lavan Ninu Uksherim Ninu. According to Beis Shammai, what did Beis Hillel hold? Beis Hillel held that these women are putter, and they get off scot-free, they can marry anybody else. According to Beis Shammai, they can't do that, they need Yivam or Chalitza. So what did these women do? They violated the Isser of Yivam Alashuk. The Isser of a Yivama marrying out, they're not doing Yivam or Chalitza. That's Chayvei Lavan. Offspring of that relationship are fine. They're not mamzerim. So therefore, why would Beis Shammai? It's okay. You want to check one more time? It's okay. Why would Beis Shammai not prevent themselves from marrying Beis Hillel? Answer, so we have a problem even if you say asu. Even if you say asu, it's a problem, not just lo asu. Even if they did follow their own opinion, why would Beis Shammai not marry Beis Hillel's family? Answers the Gemara, you're right. If you're only worried about the children of these relationships, there's no problem. But you know what you're worried about? Ki ta'amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo nitzrucha el litzara atzma. You're worried about the woman herself. That's what you're worried about. The tzara's erva. According to Beis Shammai, you're worried that one of their family, the man from their family, is going to marry a woman from Beis Hillel's family, a woman who was a tzara. So to marry that woman, that itself is a chayvei lavin. So Beis Shammai, fine, they're not worried about the children of the chayvei lavin, but they're worried about the woman herself. So achanami lo nitzrucha el tzara atzma. Just like Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak said in a different case that we're worried about the tzara herself, which we'll get to that case later on, Be'ez Hashem. But here too, that's the answer that we give. Period. So that's how we explained the brisa. But the Gemara just finishes off. One other question. What did Rib Shimon say? Rib Shimon said that they withheld themselves from intermarrying min havadai, but not min hasafik. From the vadai problems. A lot of the problems like pruta and a kesef, but not from the safik problems, if they weren't sure whether there was a problem. So that's the Gemara. Umayshna min havadai di isurahu, safik nami isurahu. Why did they prevent themselves from intermarrying by the vadais? Because there's a vadai isur here. So what's the difference between safek and vadai? Safek daraisa l'chumra. If there's a safek issue here, then also they shouldn't marry, even if there's a safek problem in either direction. Remember, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel holds a safek mamzer problem, and it's just a safek in mitzius. You just don't know. While Beis Shammai would say it's a safek of the tzara problem. So the Gemara says you're right. We misunderstood what the word safek meant. Lo tamim min hasafik doesn't really mean that they withheld the matir min hasafik, ela ema min hastam. When did they marry each other? Min hastam, if they didn't know otherwise, they allowed themselves to remarry. De modilu parshi, because if there would be a problem, then Beis Shammai would let them know that this is one of the B'nai Tzaras, and they would prevent Beis Hillel from violating any Isser. That's what Reb Shimon says, that they withheld themselves as long as they didn't know otherwise. Vadai, what does vadai mean? If they knew vadai, there was a problem. So says the Gemara, my kamashbal, then what's the chiddush then? That if they, Reb Shimon holds that if they vadai knew that this was a problem to them, they wouldn't marry them? Obviously. What the issue was, that even though they argued, they still married with each other, they still felt, respected each other. So hainu reishus, that's exactly the Tanakama Shita. So what's the difference between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon? The Gemara says, you're right. Really, the whole Brisa is the Shita of Reb Shimon. It's only one Shita, it's not two Shitas. Period. Toshma. Next try, proof from a Tosefta. Again, we're trying to prove, did Beis Shammai actually act like their own opinion or not? So Dom Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri. So we referred to this on yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri, the previous days. Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri said as follows in the Tosefta. Heich halacha zu revaches b'Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri throws up his hands and says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what Klal Yisrael should do. We have this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Again, the machlokas about Tzaras Erva. Beis Shammai said that these women, this co-wife of the Erva, should do Yibam Rechalitza. Beis Hillel says, no, they're off scot-free. The tour of Tzaras Erva. Says Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri, I don't know what Klal Yisrael should do. Nasak de Beis Shammai, if we say that everybody should follow the words of Beis Shammai, meaning they should marry, the brother should marry them. So Havlad Mamzel de Beis Hillel, that's not going to work, because half of Klal Yisrael is going to consider the children of this relationship Mamzerim. Nasak de Beis Hillel, if we all like Beis Hillel, and we tell everybody that this Tzaras Erva should just marry anybody who they want, they do not have to do Yibam or Chalitza, so Havlad Pagum L'Divrei Beis Hillel. Still the Vlad is Pagum. Rashi explains, at least according to this Shita, that even though there's no Mamzer from Chai V'Lavin, but the offspring of Chai V'Lavin still cannot marry a Kohen. Pagum, not a Cholol. Cholol is a complete, maybe it's a, there are nafkaminas between the two, but at least in this regard, it means the same for us, that this person can, the offspring cannot marry a Kohen. That's what Rashi says. Even though the Kshir Makal, and there's no Isser for Yisrael to marry a Cholola. 100% Mutter L'Chachila. For a Kohen to marry a Cholol, Cholola, it can't be. Cholola Mem Linya Kahuna. Right, how do you know that? We're going to have it later on, learning it from a Kal V'Chomer. So says Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri, I don't know what to do. If we say everybody should go like Beis Shammai, there's going to be a bunch of Mamzerim running around. If we say that we should follow Beis Hillel, there's going to be a bunch of Pagumim running around. So it's still not, they're both not good. So what should we do? Bov and his sakin lehen letzaros, he says, you know what? Let's make a takana that everybody, even according to Beis Hillel, what should we do? Shechotzos lo mesyamos. Chalitza should be done. Chalitza should be done for everybody, even according to Beis Hillel, and that way you don't have any problem. According to Beis Shammai, there's not going to be any mamzerim, because Chalitza was done, and according to Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Shammai's view of Beis Hillel, there's not going to be any pgumim running around, because there was no Isser done. Chalitza was done. And according to Beis Hillel, Yibam was not done, so there's no mamzerim, and according to Beis Shammai, Chalitza was done. So that's what he says, we should make this takana, that every, even according to Beis Hillel, that really should just get off scot-free, do Chalitza, just to cover our bases. Is it clear to Chumash that Chalitza, we're going to do away with, we discussed that a little bit in the past, we do away with Chalitza, we already said, Abishol says that once Yibam wasn't being done for the right reasons, so you have to do Chalitza. The Mishnah Bechorah says that we do Chalitza because people were doing it for those kind of reasons. But yeah, the Gemara, there is a question, how much is Chalitza a bidieved, a background, or is it a separate mitzvah? But here he says, for the good of society, we should do Chalitza. But the Tosefta continues, Lo espiku l'gmoris ha-davar ha-shenitshuf ha-shah. Kadosh Baruch Hu had it, the Siyata Deshmaya, that something happened and then this takana never came to fruition. It was Siyata Deshmaya that it was never supposed to come. But the Tosefta does continue and say that not everybody agreed with this suggestion. Amalei Rav Shuv Gamliel, Manasem Letzaris Harishonos Me'ata. Shuv Gamliel says, you're going to make this whole takana do Chalitza, you know, so that from now on there's no problem. What about the women who did it already? What about the women prior to this takana? According to Beis Shammai, what these women do? They married their brothers-in-law. And Beis Hillel views these children as mamzerim. So that's not what? So from now on, you're going to say that all the previous women, you're going to make a new takana. So you're going to say everybody else performing with mamzerim? That's, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that's motzi lazal rishonim. You're not allowed to do something right now that's going to cause us to look negatively on the previous generations. You're going to say, oh, up until now, you know, there was a problem, there were mamzerim, therefore we're going to everybody has to do chalitza. So says Rashbag, Rashi Gamliel says, I don't even like that takana, the suggestion of it, because it's going to cause problems in how we view the earlier generations. So before we get to the diuk what's the raya from this case? So this is the issue, relates to the issue of lahotzi laz, al harishonim, that sometimes Chazal say, the Gemara says that Chazal couldn't do something because that would cause us to view negatively the earlier generations. There is a Minchas Elazar. Minchas Elazar writes in a tshuva, in Chelek Dalet Simen Zayin, it's a couple of page tshuva talking about improving the mikvah of their, I don't know exactly which mikvah this was, but a few tshuvas written by a couple of Gdolim, improving the mikvah in the town where he was. And he was asked, isn't this going to be a problem? Because if you improve the mikvah now and you're choshish for more shitas, then aren't you going to basically be saying that the previous generation, you know, they weren't going in a good mikvah? Lahotzi laz, al harishonim. So says the Minchas Elazar, I have 14 reasons why that's not a problem of lahotzi laz, al harishonim. But reason number one, which relates to our Gemara, and we're going to see if this holds true according to everybody, reason number one is the only time you find Motzi laz al rishonim, that chshash is when there's a chshash mamzerus. If people are going to say that somebody earlier, you know, because of what we're doing now, because earlier there's a chshash mamzerus, so that's where you find this by Gittin, on Daf Hey, and Nida Daf Yud Gimel, he quotes many sources. V'yebaz al laz al mishpachas Yisrael sheish ben mamzerim chalila, v'ein mamzer elamashis ish. But improving a mikvah, we know the halacha says that even though a nida is a chi of krisus, that's the only exception. Abaya says, habal anida, the child is not a mamzer. Right? That's the Gemara even says, that's chas de Hashem. That the right, we have many Jews who don't fully keep taharas mishpacha, but there's no mamzerus issues. Maybe there's a pogrom issue. We had a tshuva of Moshe a couple of weeks ago. You know, if somebody says, should I go out with, should I marry somebody who I'm not sure if she's a ben anida, and Moshe says, if she has midas tovos, that's haraya that she's not a ben anida, bas anida. But anyway, so he says, his first of the 14 points is that no problem, because motzi laz is only by mamzerus, therefore you can approve the mikvah. Like our Gemara is an issue of mamzerus. That's why it fits in. This is not 100% agreed upon. There is a tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen, where he was discussing improving an Eruv. Improving an Eruv with a Lechi and a Mavui, fond memories that we all have. So he says, by the suggestion. Okay, I like the suggestion, but then he says Yira in Siman Ayin Dalid De Ein Limchos Levatel Minag Zeh Shekvar Nispashi B'Chol Makomus. Don't be Mevatel the Minag that Klai Yisrael does now with the Eruv V'Lo Ratzu Hamanhikim Shal Yibir LaHanicha Lasos Kedei LaHotzi Lazal Rishonim. And that's not to do with Mamzerus, you know, fixing up an era, being choshish for other shitos. So again, poskim uses kiyomru akol shechilu Shabbos earlier. So not everybody agrees that it'll be limited to Mamzerus. Poskim might use it in other ways. Maybe in Shas it's only found by Mamzerus. Maybe that's his suggestion. That in Shas that's where it's found. Either way, that's this shashir. That was Reb Shimon Gamliel's problem. That I don't want to make a takana that everybody should chalitza, because that would cause problems to the women who got remarried to their brothers-in-law, according to Beis Shammai, before the takana. Fine. So now, what's the deal? So, e amrit vishlama asu. So if you want to say, if we hold that asu, Beis Shammai actually follow their own opinion. So, hayna tekarim manasa. So that's why we understand this last line of Shimon Gamliel. He says, oy vey, we're going to be messing up the earlier generations because we're going to cause mamzerim. That only makes sense if they actually marry their brothers-in-law. Ela e amrit lo asu, but if Beis Shammai never actually acted based on their opinion. But they just said it in the Beis Medrash. So then, Manasseh. So what's, how do you understand Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what are we going to do about the early generations? They're going to be Manasseh. But if they never remarried actually, so there's no worry. There's no chash. So answers the Gemara, you're right. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo nitzrucha el litzara atzma. What Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to is not the children. There are no Mamzerus issues. Because they never actually got remarried. There's no mamzerus issues. But what are we worried about? Umanase haki kamer. This is what it's referring to. Hanach tsaris de Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. You're right, Beis Shammai always acted like Beis Hillel. But you know what we're worried about? Those women who, according to Beis Hillel, got off scot-free. And they were allowed to not do either Yibam or Chalitza. What are we going to do to those women who didn't do anything? Yibam or Chalitza. Now you're going to make a takana that everybody requires Chalitza. But what are we going to do to those women? What are we going to do to them? Let's say some women from prior to the Takana got remarried to other men, according to Beis Hillel, which they're allowed to do. So what are we going to do now to help out Beis Shammai, right? Because Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri wants to make everybody B'Shalom. Lech Litzu, if you want to say, they're remarried already. So you know what? Let them do Chalitza now. Let them do Chalitza. They're married, you know what? But let them do Chalitza now. So Mima Se Agavrayu. They're going to become disgusted to their husbands. Their husband has been living with them for 5 years, for 10 years, and all of a sudden you're going to say, you know what, just to be safe, do chalitza? This is my wife. What, I wasn't allowed to get married to her? I married her in sin? So it's going to be disgusting. It's going to be mimasaya gavrayu. So that's why it's not an option to do chalitza. Mechitema limason. And if we say, so what? You know, so what? But this is the halacha. This is for the betterment of the future generations of Klal Yisrael. No. Durachecha darchei noam v'chol nisivaseh hashalom. The Torah's ways are sweet and na'im, and we can't say that this is to be done, that we're going to enact something that causes the strife between the husband and the wife. This is something that came up on Daf Beis, which was on a Shabbos, so I didn't get to talk about it. So I'll talk about it now for 2 minutes. And that is, sometimes in Halacha, in the Gemara sometimes, and Rishonim also, use this principle of Derecher Darchei Noam. The Torah's ways are sweet, and therefore, if there's something that goes against our sensibilities, then it can't be that that's what the Torah wants. The Gemara uses this in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, somewhere, wherever my Gemara Sukkah is. Oh, it's under here. The Gemara in Sukkah is discussing on Daf Lama Beis Mabeis, trying to figure out what the true identity of a Hadas is. And the Gemara suggests, is it a Hirdof? A Hirdof is a type of branch that has a lot of thorns on it, and might even be poisonous. So maybe that's the Hadas? Says the Gemara, that can't be the Hadas, because the Rechad Achei Noam. It can't be the Torah wants you to shake something with thorns on it that it's going to hurt you when you shake it. The Torah's ways are sweet. It can't be that that's what the Torah wants. This came up on Dav Beis and Tosfos. Because on Dav Beis and Aleph in Tosfos, in Yevamos, the bottom Tosfos asked the question, we know there's an Isser of Achos Isha. My wife's sister. I'm Usher to my wife's sister. Usher Dar Isa. But let's say a man's wife dies. Then he's Mutter to the sister. It's one of the only relationships that changes after death. Right, Ashes Aviv is Asr even after your father dies. But Achos Isha If a person, if Reuven's wife dies, Reuven now can marry his wife's sister. So asks Tosfos on our Mishnah. 1 minute. You have this issue of Erava and Saras Erava. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Shimon dies. So now, what does the Gemara say? That Reuven doesn't have to do Yibum or Chalitza to his wife's sister or to any of the other Saras. But what if later on Reuven's wife dies? So now all of a sudden he's mutter to that Erava. So maybe we should say that Reuven has to wait to see. Who knows? Maybe his wife is going to die, and then this other woman, who's his wife's sister now, is going to be mutter to him, and then all the tsaris are going to have to do Yibam. So maybe, is that a worry? Says Tosas Zeracher Adachi Noam. It can't be the Torah is worried about this case, and you're going to mess everybody up. And that's a chash. It must be, says Tosfos, if at the time of the Zika there's no connection, that's it. It's finished. That's what Tosfos says on the fourth line of Dibur HaMaskel V'Achos Ishta. So that's a place where a Rishon uses the principle outside of where the Gemara uses it. And then there are others as well. Just two other examples, and then we'll move on. The Meshech Chachma uses this. This is a known Meshech Chachma, and that is in Parshas Noach. Meshech Chachma says, Lo rachoku lomar. It's not far off to say that the reason women are not obligated in Purur Vu is because childbirth is painful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot command a mitzvah that's painful upon a person. Okay, Bris Milah is a separate discussion. That inherently is sakana, it's Mesiris Nefesh. But says the Meshech Chachma, that's what he says. Lo rachoku lomar, shepatra Torah nashim, yipiri v'rivya, rak anashim, ki mishpatei ha-Torah, d'r'cher d'achei noham, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot command a mitzvah that inherently causes a lot of pain. He does say, and that's why there's only a mitzvah to fast one day a year. Where we don't believe in fastings and like other religions, that you got to fast and you got to do this. One day a year, Daraisa, you have to fast. Tisha B'Av is the Rabbanan. One day a year we can do tshuva for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even that day, there's a mitzvah to eat the day before. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to pain us with mitzvahs. He helps us out. So that says the Meshech Chachma, that's Puravu, Drachar Dachei Noam. He does add in, though, that's why, because women are not obligated, that's why Hashem put in a motherly desire, even more than a father, to want to have children. To balance out the fact that women aren't obligated in the mitzvah, that's why the Meshech Chachma says the Kodesh Baruch Hu put into the teva of women to want to have the children, and this special connection between them to balance out this tour. Meshech Chachma in Parshas Noah. One final example, again, not in the Gemara, and that's in the Teshuvah of the Radvaz. I think we mentioned this a few years ago. In the Radvaz, in Chela Gimel, Elef Nun Beis, this is the Shaila, came up. He was asked, somebody said to a Jew, Rachman al-Islan, right, some government official, let me cut off your arm or I'm going to kill your friend. That was the case. Let me cut off your arm or I'm going to kill your friend. You make the call. What does the posek say? So we know, Yahari Val Yavar, by the big three, right, Shvichas Damin. Why is your blood redder? Right. So therefore, if somebody says, I'm going to kill Reuven or I'm going to kill you, so you have to be killed. So this isn't about murder. This is about Shvichas Damin. This is about Kitzitas Eiver. So do we say, and you know for sure this is not going to endanger the person's life. Right? It's not going to kill him. Right? So what's the halacha? So the Radvaz has a number of reasons why the person does not have to, has no chiyav. So see, Midas Chassidus if he wants to give his arm. But he has no chiyav whatsoever for a person to give his arm. He says, number one, who says that he's not going to die from this? Right, whenever you do this type of surgery, you know, there's always a chance. And then he says, don't compare this to Shabbos, other examples, but one of the halachas that he says, one of the rayas that he says is, Visu, the last one, Tichsiv derachea darchei noam. Vitzarech mishpatei Torah seinu yu maskimim el haseichel v'hasvara. Torah laws have to make, go ola al adas, veich yala al datenu sheyaniach adam l'sameyes eino alachto chazyado araglo k'desh le'yemusu eschaveiro. Eini roet tam l'din zeh. Midas Chasidus va'ashri chelko mi yuchal la'amod bazeh. But if it's savi sacharis lafashus, it's not allowed. And that's where the Radvaz also uses the yisod of derecheha darchei no. Okay, let's continue. Toshma, next trying to prove. Again, did Beis Shammai act like their own cheater or not? The Yom Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon has an amazing statement, which l'chora we can't take kipshuta. Te'evani, there's a machlokas here, Girsaos, Rashi, and the Tosfos Yeshanim, we're going to go with Rashi. Rabbi Tarfon says, Te'evani, or it says on the side, Te'evani, I desire, I wish, Masai Navo Tsara Sabas Liadiva Esa'ena. When's my daughter's Tsara going to fall to me so I can finally marry her? Meaning, Rabbi Tarfon's daughter was married to his brother, and his brother had another wife, and he says, Pashtus, when's my brother going to die already so that his wives could be come to me and I can marry the Tsaras Bita? So what's the rabbi, before we talk about that amazing statement, but what's the kasha here? Rabbi Tarfon was a Talmud of Beishamai. Talmud of Beishamai, right? Remember that Mishnah in Brachas, where Rabbi Tarfon lay down and he put himself in danger. The problem was, because even if you're a Talmud, you gotta, right, that was, right, that's, you have to follow, the halacha follows Beis Hillel. But Rashi here says, Rabbi Tarfon is a Talmud of Beishamai, so the raya is here that they actually follow their own opinion. Because what's he saying? I can't wait to marry the co-wife of my daughter. Answers the Gemara, Ema va'asiena. Okay, you're right, it means I can't wait to marry her off. Not marry her herself, which shows that really, he did like Beis Hillel to marry her off. He didn't marry her herself. I have a hate vanikamar. So then, what's the chiddush then? He had such a desire that everybody did this. If everybody followed Beis Hillel, then what's the chiddush of that? Oh, I can't wait. Lafuki b'drocha benuri. No, it's just to teach me that he felt against Rabbi Yochanan benuri, who we had earlier, who wished that everybody did chalitza. He was saying, no, I'm going to marry her off right away. I'm going to marry her off without any chalitza. So the Rishonim don't really deal with it. The Rishonim Rishonim Balacha says, what, he's davening for his brother to die? Taivani, how can he say such a thing? So he suggests that he's not really doing that, obviously, literally. We're talking about Rabbi Tarfon here. But he's just giving hope to all the tsaris out there. And he just wants to defend them and help them and give them, make them feel good a little bit. And says, don't worry, you wonderful women! I would marry you! I can't wait! But it's not Dafka that he's actually davening for his brother to die. No, and he says especially after, the Sharmazan Balacha quotes, after a chalitza, there's a special yihiratzon that we say. Yihiratzon that no Bnos Yisrael ever have to do chalitza again. Because it's a tragic situation when a man dies without children. Yihiratzon shalai yavo Bnos Yisrael li'dei chalitza v'yibam. Right, so he asks what he's davening for? So he says, no, that's what he's saying, halavai, that I marry her just to make all the other women in the world in this situation feel good. But not Dafka that he believes in that. Okay, there's more in here, the Tosfos Yoshanim, but we'll continue, and if we have time, as usual, we'll come back. Tashma, another raya. Ma'isa b'bitah shor b'gamliel. Shaisa nesua la'aba achiv. The daughter of b'gamliel was married to Abba, his brother. Umeis below banim, and his brother died without children. V'yibim b'gamliel asarasa. Look what happened. Rugamliel married his daughter's co-wife. Haraya, that Beis Shammai's Talmidim, did follow their own opinion. Yes, the Gemara of Tizra, Rugamliel, Matavid, Beis Shammai, who? One minute, Rugamliel was not a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So what's the whole riot? The whole thing doesn't make sense. Ella, it must be Shiny Bitosh or Rugamliel, the islandess have. The daughter of Rugamliel was different. She was an islandess, as we had a couple days ago. An islandess, when an islandess falls to Yibum, it's as if they were never married. Because an islandess, the whole Kiddushin originally does not create the Zikas. That's why he was allowed to marry his daughter's co-wife. Oh, so we're going to talk about it, whether he knew about it. That was a machlokas we had earlier, which is going to come up again. Did he know about it or not? Says the Gemara, 1 minute. Habi Diktani Seifa, the Seifa of that Braisa, has an argument. Remember, the Tanakhama says there was a daughter of Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel married the co-wife. But a Chayr Momrim, Bithos Rabbi Gamliel, Islandess Aisa. The next line of the Braisa says, oh, his daughter was an Islandess. Mashma, Michal Tanakhama, Sava, live Islandess Have, Aisa. So it's Mashma that the Tanakhama holds that the daughter was not an Islandess. So what's the Machlokas here? What are the two lines of the Braisa? Three answers suggested. Number one is what you just said. Hikir bavalo hikir reikir binayu. Maybe they're gufa arguing about how far does the heter of islandess go. The machlokas we had before. One opinion says that the only time islandess is considered not married is if he did not know about it originally. But if he knew about it, then he married her anyway, that's fully married. So then that those are considered saros erva then. If he knew about it. Masha'enkin, according to the other opinion, no, even if Hikirba, still islandess, because she's mufka, because she's excluded from Yibam, does not create any connection to the tsaris. Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Or number two, Viba Yisema, Kanasalubsov Girishikir Benayhu. The issue of overlap in the marriage. We had this yesterday, and that is when you have an erva that was divorced before the zika, before the husband dies, he divorces the erva. So do we say that the co-wives are mutter to yibum rechalitza, or do we say no? Once they're co-wives at a certain time in history, so then they're co-wives forever. That was a machlokas yesterday. So maybe that's what they're arguing about here too. And number three, ibayisema yesh tnai babia ikibenayu. Maybe the issue is Yesh Tanai Bebiya. What's Yesh Tanai Bebiya? Rashi quotes here a Gemara from Maseches Ksubis, where if a man, when a man gets married, he marries a woman al tnai, that she has no problems. Ein aleha mumin. She has no physical blemishes or deformities. Or nidarim. If a man does that, and then it comes out that she has mumin, so that's a machlokas, whether that's a good marriage. The Tanakhama says that, one Peshitta says that it's not a marriage. He got married all tonight, just like I can get married on any tonight. I marry you on condition that it snows tomorrow. And if it doesn't snow tomorrow, we're not married. So I'm an ask that you don't have mumin. So one Peshitta there says, no marriage. The other Peshitta says, no, it's a marriage anyway. Why? For one of two reasons. Either because ein adam osa bi'ilaso bi'ilaznus, which is a huge sugya, and that means when a man lived with his wife, he basically has das, I'm living with you, honey, and we're married, that's it. And he forgets, and he reneges on any other condition that he had made. Or do you say mechilo took place? Rashi quotes that. The Rishash says it's really two different reasons in Rashi. The end of that Rashi. Achule achil, kidamrinam inam osa bilaso bi'ilas nus. So maybe they're arguing about that here too. Islandess is a mum, right? Islandess is a woman who can't have children. So maybe the machlokas here in this brisa is about that issue. The one Peshitta says that the reason that they were never married is because it's a violation of the Tanai. The other reason says, even if it's not a violation of the Tanai, there's another reason why the marriage wasn't good, and that was because she was an islandess. And that, by definition, breaks the marriage. Either way, there is no proof from that story, and we just gave three pshatim. What is the machlokas in that brisa? Okay, Vaiter. Masav Rav Misharshi, middle of the Amud, and again, we're still trying to prove whether Beis Shammai went like his own opinions or not, but now we're branching out. Now we're out of Yibam, we're trying to go on and bring other Shas cases, where it seems like Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. Maisa, Rabbi Akiva, we have this in Rosh Hashanah. The story of Rabbi Akiva. Shelikid Echsog Be'echad Be'shvat V'nog Boshnei Yisurin Echad Kedivre Beis Shammai Be'echad Kedivre Beis Hillel. If you remember back to the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, there was a machlokas there, what day of the year is Rosh Hashanah for the trees? Beis Shammai says the first day of Shvat. Beis Hillel says, Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day of Shvat. So Rabbi Akiva, there's a story told that he gathered Esrogim on the first day of Shvat, which is, it could have been any day in between. And he took off two Meisers because he wasn't sure, he wanted to be Nohag, like both opinions. Meaning, let's say this is going from year 2 to year 3. We know in the first and second and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, we take off Meiser Sheni. In the fourth and the sixth year, instead we take off Meiser Ani. Meiser Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, you eat it yourself. Meiser Ani, you give to the poor. So this is going from the second year to the third year. So Rabbi Akiva says, 1 minute. According to Beis Shammai, it's already been Rosh Hashanah, it's the third year, I have to take off Meiser Ani. According to Beis Hillel, it's still the second year, I have to take off Meiser Sheni. What do? I'll take off both. So that's what you see Rabbi Akiva did. I haraya that, look, he was being machmer for Beis Shammai, meaning it sounds like Beis Shammai Salmidim actually followed his own shita. So Shmamina Asu. We have another raya that Asu, that they follow their own opinion. Answers the Gemara, no raya. Rabbi Akiva Gamrei Stopikle. No, Rabbi Akiva just wasn't sure who held what. It wasn't like he wanted to be machmer like Beis Shammai, he just didn't remember which shita Beis Hillel held. V'lo yada I Beis Hillel becha b'shvat omer, o betu b'shvat omer. So he wasn't sure what to hold, so that's what Beis Hillel held, and that's why he had to do both. Okay, no right. Masiv Mar Zutra, again, the Tosfos Yerushalmi here, just one other ha'ara, asks, isn't this an issue, a problem of tevel? If you take off more meiser than you're supposed to, and you give all of that to the Levi, more than truma has no shear from the Torah. Midaraisa. Chita achas poteris is akri. So the Chazal give different shearim to give. 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. But really, you could give almost your whole field in truma, and it'll all be labeled as truma. Meiser is a specific amount. A tenth of what's left. Meiser is a specific amount. If you give more than that, then in there, and you give that to the Kohen, so the stuff that's beyond that is tevel. Give it to the Levi. It's tevel. Tevel means it wasn't matired by the hafrasha. What's left in your field is called chulin now. That's fine. But if you took off extra meiser and you gave it to the Levi, that's tevel. So ask the Tosfos Yerushalmi, are you messing him up by giving him two meisers? Some of this is tevel. So it must be, says the Tosfos Yerushalmi, that you made some type of tanai. You give it to the ani, and you say, this is your Meiser ani, and if it's really supposed to be Meiser sheni, then the money back in my house really has the Kedusha, and this money is chulin. It must be that you made some form of Tanai, or else there would be problems. Okay. Masa Brahma Sutra, next case. Mishnah in Sukkah. The daughter-in-law of Shammai had a baby. Shammai had a grandchild. Hazaken upiche says ma'azeva. And what did he do? He broke off the roof above where the baby's crib was. V'sichach agabi mita b'shvil katan. And he put schach on there. Okay, because he held the katan. Certain types of katanim were mechuyav in sukkah. Shmamina asin. So again, you see, Shammai and Tamidei Shammai follow their own opinion. Answers the Gemara again, no raya there. No raya that they did their own opinion, and therefore it would be a problem of Losis go to do. Remember, that's the whole issue here. Hasam haroa omer, lafushi averkovit. No, people, onlookers will say they just need some air. It's like they're opening the window. They need some air. That's not a problem that they did it their own shita, and they violated Losis go to do. So, They still did like the shita, right? So you see from the answer to this Gemara that the issue isn't just a mitzias machlokas, but it's the outgrowth of the mitzias machlokas. And that maybe if there was an issue of lo sisko to do, they wouldn't have done their shita. The only reason that asu here was because it was not a problem of lo sisko to do, but if there was a case of lo sisko to do, an issue, a potential issue, so maybe they wouldn't have done their own shita. You still don't have that as a raya. So the Aruch Laner asks a simple question here, and that is, here, we're not even talking about Beis Shammai. Who are we talking about here in this story? Shammai himself! Shammai himself? Of course Shammai himself did like his own shita. Shammai lived before the Baskol. Right? Shammai lived before the Baskol. So what was the whole svara to suggest what was the issue? That they would follow or not follow Beis Hillel? Either because Beis Hillel was the rove, which Beis Hillel wasn't the rove when it was just two rabbis, Shammai and Hillel. So there's no reason of the rove. Of the other shita, so therefore, why would he hold of him? My part, me Shammai. He says, "Mehechi teitz Shammai liyase." Because what's the reason? Time alo asu called the baskol mishum Beis Hillel was rov. Alacher baskol mishum bas, and only after the baskol they would go like him was because it's after the baskol. So there's no reason for that for us to say lo asu here. So what's the havamina? So he says, Yesh Lomar, the issue is really a lo sisko to do issue. And that is, he shouldn't have done a maisa befarhesya that would teach even his Talmidim to follow his actions. That's the real question here. So you're right, Shammai himself could do whatever he wanted. But the problem is that he acted in public, so his Talmidim, the Beis Shammai, is going to now follow their Rebbe in later generations, and that would be a potential problem. That was the issue with Shammai himself. Next try. Masav Marzutra, Maisa B'Shokes Yehu, Shaisa B'Yushalayim. It's a Maisa with the Shokes Yehu. What's the Shokes Yehu? Shokes is a trough, like a water trough that an animal drinks from. But it's also any type of, let's say you have a log type of kli with indented, like what a trough looks like, and you're going to use that for a mikvah. So there's a story about that. Maisa B'Shokes Yehu, Shaisa B'Yushalayim. It was Shokes Yehu in Yerushalayim. V'Haisa Nekuvala Mikvah. And what happened? This kli type of structure was hollowed out, and water was in there to be used for a mikvah. The problem was it wasn't big enough. So exactly what we do today, we do hashaka, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, and that is we make a hole in this mikvah connected to a larger mikvah, which has 40 sa'ah in it, and connecting the waters in between, that's hashaka. So that's what was used, that's what we're talking about here. Vayis nekuvala mikvah, it was connected. And everybody used that shokes yeyu. They used it to be matayr their kalim. V'sholchu beishamai v'irchivua, and beishamai sent to make the hole bigger. You got to make the hole in between them bigger. She beishamai omrim asheti paches baruba. Beishamai says you got to have a majority of the kli. You got to have a major hole in between connecting these kalim. Vitznan, but we learned in the Mishnah that we don't paskin that way. Beis Hillel says, Erev Parshias Kishvaferes Hanod. Erev Mikvos Kishvaferes Hanod. The mixing of Mikvos, you just need a tiny little hole size, the size of a reed. Ba'ovya ubachalala. In its width and its hole, ubachalala kishdeets bos, chosaslim koman. What's that size? Enough to fit in two fingers that could go around and around. So Shmamina Asu. So again, you see, this is a machlokes in Hilchos Mikvos. And you see, Beis Shammai told them, make the hole bigger. So you see, Beis Shammai followed his own opinion. Again, says the Gemara, again, no raya. Hasam, haroe omer, lafushi mayhu deka avid. So maybe the onlooker will say, you know what? No, you want more water in there. You want more water in your pool. But lav dafka, that's a halachic issue that will cause losis godedu. Rashi on top says that's not dami l'shtei toros. Right, that's not a problem of losis godedu. There is two important discussions in the Rishonim here on this line. First of all, the Ritva notes from Rashi. Rashi says if you take a hollowed out stone and you put it in the mikveh, then you make a hole in it. That's the case here. From the Ritva says it sounds like according to Rashi here, it doesn't matter if you hollowed out the stone before you affixed it and connected it to the mikveh, or even if you hollowed it out beforehand or afterwards. Even if you have a hollowed out stone and you put water in it, that is already a kli, that's mayim she'uvim. And then you connect it and you make the hole. So, but you already had mayim she'uvim in this kli. Says the Ritva, Raya from Rashi, that connecting the mikvos doesn't only solve the problem of amount, of chaser, but it also solves the problem of mayim she'uvim. We know you're not allowed to have still water in a mikvah, it has to be rainwater. Mayim she'uvim is not allowed. So says the Ritva, you see from here, that the fact that Rashi says it's already an evan chalula, before it's put in, it's hollowed out, that it's not a problem, that hashaka solves the problem of mayim she'uvim as well. Number one. Number two is a machlokas that has come up before, that's in Tosfos here. Tosfos quotes a machlokas here between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. When we say that the hole has to be kishvoferes hanod, enough to stick two fingers in, does that mean that's how big the hole has to be, but the water does not have to fill up the entire hole? The water, let's say you have the other mikvah, but the other mikvah is lower down than this mikvah. So then the hole is not going to be full of water. So does the hole have to be full of water, or just the hole has to be that size, but there could be less water than the whole entire volume of the hole? That's the machlokas here between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, just the hole has to be that big. And the Ri says, no, the water has to fill up the entire amount of the hole. The Briska Rav says, what's the machlokas here? The Gri is the Nehilchos Mikvos, ala Rambam. What's the Nekudas of machlokas? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a din in the hole. Why? Because what you are doing here is creating one mikvah. You are breaking down the machitza, symbolically, and you're creating one mikvah. So it's a din in the hole. Once you have this size hole, it's considered one mikvah. According to the Ri, no, it's not a din in breaking down the walls of machitza. It's a din in the mayim. Din in the mayim of a chibur. Chibur hamayim. You might have two mikvahs here, fine. But it's a din of chibur hamayim. If it's a chibur hamayim, so it's a shear in the mayim, and that mayim has to fill the entire hole. So it's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Okay. Toshma, second line, Amid Beis. Toshma. Another try to prove asu or lo asu. Toshma, da Rablazer Bartzada. Chayisi lomi, Torah Eitzor, Rabbi Yochanan HaChorani. Rablazer Bartzada, let's remember the names here, because we'll have to focus. Rablazer Bartzada says, when I used to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan, Ra'isi Shaya Ochel Paschareva, B'malach B'shnei Betzaris. I saw he used to eat very dry bread with a little salt in a famine year. And he was very poor. Basi vodeti as Abba. I went home and told my father. Reb Elazar bar Tzadok went home to tell his father, Reb Tzadok, about what he saw. Amarli, so my father, Reb Tzadok, told me, Holech lo zesim, take him some olives, meaning give him some food. Volachti lo, and I brought it to him. Rose on Shein Lachim. He, Reb Yochanan, then saw that the olives that I brought were moist, were wet. What's the significance? We know that fruits and vegetables are only mukhsha l'kabal tumah, can only become tame after they are moist, after being detached from the ground. Right? Every fruit and vegetable gets wet when it's attached. It rains. But after it gets detached from the ground, it cannot become tame unless it gets moist from one of the seven mashkim. Yad shachadam, or yayin dvash, one of the seven mashkim. So here he brought these olives to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan sees that they're wet. So Amar Li, so he answered Rabbi Elazar and Yochel Zesim. You know what? I don't eat olives. Sorry, I don't eat olives. Which the Meiri says, you know what you learn from here? If you want to refuse somebody's food, but you don't want to insult them, do it in a covetic way. Oh, maybe you got him tamei. No, you don't say that. Says the Meiri here, you say it in a covetic way, that you don't embarrass them. He says, I don't eat olives. Why? Because he was worried that they somehow became tamei along the way. Rashi here discusses, maybe there's an Amah Aretz that touched the outside of the kli. Okay, there's a discussion here exactly how it became tamei. So, Basi Vodeti Asaba. So I went back to my father and I told him he didn't want the olives. They obviously knew, they got the message. They knew why he wasn't eating olives. So Amar Li, Leich Ve'Amarlo, so Reb Tzadok sends me back to him and says, no, go tell him, Chavis Nekuva Haisa. It was a barrel with holes in the bottom. What do you mean holes in the bottom? Let's add another halacha. Not only does Hukshala Kabbal Tumah require the fruit and vegetable to become wet, It has to become wet under the acquiescence and the approval of the owner. If the owner did not want them to become wet, it wasn't l'ratzon, then they're not mukshar l'kabel tumah. So says Reb Tzadok back, tell him there was holes in the barrel, meaning I didn't want them to become moist as they were as all the fluid was flowing out of them. There were holes in the bottom. You know what happened? Shesasmu ashmarim. You know, some of the dregs stuffed it up, and therefore they got wet because the moisture wasn't allowed to get out. Vitznana, we learned in a Mishnah, chavish alzeisim megugalim. If you have a barrel of olives that are sitting there, that they're getting smushed, Beishamei omrim ein srich lanake. Beishamei says, you don't even have to make a hole in the barrel, because even if they get wet, you know you don't want the moisture to come out. Ubeisilo omrim srich lanake. And Beisilo says, no, you have to make a hole in order to show that you're not happy with the moisture they are getting wet. Umodim, but they both admit, she'im nikva visitmua, if you did make a hole, and then the shmarim closed it up, she'itahora. That moisture on there is not machshor l'kabel tumah, because you already showed your part that you don't want it to get wet. End of story. Reb Tzadok was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, but what do you see he did? He made holes in it. That's Beis Hillel Shita. So va'af abicha tamid shamei haya kol ma'isav lo asal k'de Beis Hillel. Right? What did we just see in the Mishnah? Only Beis Hillel requires you to make the holes in the bottom of the barrel to show, to reveal your das that you don't want it to get wet. And yet Reb Tzadok did that. So you see, he followed Beis Hillel Shita. So isn't that a raya? E amrit bishlama. So what's the exact raya? As follows. E amrit bishlama asu. If you want to say that everybody else did follow their own opinion, that Beis Shammai's telling them did follow their own opinion. So Haini Ravuse, now you appreciate the chinish of this story. The chinish of this story is that Reb Tzadok went above and beyond and follow the halacha of Beis Hillel. Elo iamre lo asu, but if you say lo asu, that nobody followed their own opinion, and everybody went like Beis Hillel, my revusi, then what's the chiddush of this story? Reb Tzadok did like everybody else, maskana, period. No answer to this proof. So we prove that in cases of losis, go to do potential problems, Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion. They held their own opinion, the Beis Medrash, but they actually went like Beis Hillel. Yeah.
But within that period of time, so what was the point?
That was the Basco. Well, what was the point? Well, they made their own decision, and then Beis Hillel was the majority. Right? They made their own decisions, and, you know, once Beis Hillel, maybe they would have come to an understanding that they both agree. Right? Sometimes you have cases where Beis Hillel was moded to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel realized they were wrong, and they were moded to Beis Shammai. So they still had the halachic discussions. But once the maskana was made, and the heavenly voice went out, like we discussed yesterday, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So maybe beforehand they didn't. Right?
Because
maybe...
afterwards,
right? So I don't know how much new ideas came out after the Baskol, right? After the Baskol went out, I don't know. Maybe they didn't have any new shitas, you know, at that time, right? They didn't have any new shitas at that time. Tashma, just two more minutes. Tashma, so we're going to start this riot today. Shalosh Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. The students of Rabbi Yeshua asked him, Tzaras Abbas, what's the halacha of the tzara of the daughters? Amar lahem machlokas b'shamay Beis Hillel. That's machlokas, right? Our Mishnah, that's our issue. The co-wife of an erva, that's the machlokas. Halacha k'divrei mi, so the Talmidim said, Rabbi, who's the halacha like? Amar lahem, mibnei ma'ata machrisim roshi bein shnei harim gedolim. I'm going to put my head between two mountains, bein shnei machlokas gedolos bein b'shamay Beis Hillel. I'm going to choose one over the other, m'syare ani shema yarutzu gulgulti. They're going to smash in my head. Meaning what? If he says, if I paskin like Beis Hillel, then what am I going to say? That all the women who marry their brothers like Beis Shammai, all their children are mamzerim. They're going to come kill me. But I can't make a public halacha of who the halacha is like. So I'm not going to tell you who the halacha is like about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but I'll just tell you about their kids. But I will tell you about two families in Yerushalayim. Mishpachas Beis Tzvua mibein Achmai, Mishpachas Beis Kupai mibein Mekoshesh. About these two families, Shein Benet Saros, I'll tell you about these children that were children of Saros, Umehem Kohanim Gedolim. And from their children were great Kohanim Gedolim, and nobody argued. Nobody argued that they should be Kohanim Gedolim. V'shim Shal Gavim Mizbeach. And they served on the Mizbeach. So therefore, now we have another Raya. Why? As follows. E Amr Bishlama Asu.
If you say that fine, Beis Shammai follow their own opinion, that's why he was scared. Because previously, women from Beis Shammai did marry their brothers-in-law, and there are mamzerim, potential mamzerim running around, and those are the ones who are going to kill him. But if you say they did not follow their own opinion, so then why? What was he worried about? What was he worried about? Right? There were no mamzerim running around because they never actually followed their own opinion. So therefore, isn't that another raya of Asu? Okay, so we'll have to stop here. Again, the Gemara is going to reject the raya, but Rosh Chodesh, we got to start on time. We'll stop here by Unihi Nami.